Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live, live and in color. Hope you're ready for it. We have a great show tonight, and we have got a lot of things that are going on that... A lot of things going on tonight. So we're going to be talking about the election. We're going to be talking about quite a few things. And just got to make a couple of quick changes. And just making a couple of quick changes. We're going to be, as I said, we're going to be talking about President-elect Obama, the fiscal cliff, and a few other things as well. But as we normally get started, let me read the Declaration. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. So, a couple things. Let me do the purpose. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And, of course, we cannot go any further without talking about the question that we'll be engaged in throughout the year, which is, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled? Let me read that sucker again, because that one is just pretty powerful. What is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled? So, just wanted to share that with you. And I'm actually going to do something a little different tonight. I feel like some music tonight. I don't know. Not sure what I'm going to select. I'm thinking about something that's appropriate for the conversation that we're in right now. I'll come back to that one. I will definitely be coming back to that one. Stand by. Okay. Just wanted to make a couple of changes in our show tonight just before we got started, before we got it all cranking. And we should be good now. All right, and I'm going to look for my lady. Where is she? She is. should be in the studio now. And those of you who are out there, raise your hand if you'd like to get in on the conversation. And, there goes a hand. I think I know who this might be. 973-851. Welcome. You're live on the air.
You recognize your number, huh?
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank God. This is Jonathan Davis. Heading back from Toronto, Canada. I'm on the Greyhound bus, but I wanted to be on the call tonight.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good. Well, thank you for being on the call. I know that you've been dealing without some power, and you finally got some power back. So I know that's
finally. I said all power to the people.
Yeah.
12 days. Can you imagine that with no power?
I really can't because you know when you look at the privilege that we have that we've had for so long in this world in our country. You know, of course, when you travel outside of the country, you get to see how fragile all of those things are. But something like having power, you know, when we're in Kenya, you know, for example, or South Africa, there were moments and times, or mostly in Kenya, that the power would go out. And depending on where you were, it might go out for a couple hours. It might go out, you know, for 5 or 6 hours. You know, the water. You know, again, we take for granted. We turn on that water and we expect water. And sometimes you couldn't take a shower, you know, and depending on what kind of hotel that you were staying at in Nairobi, Kenya, you know, it might be a couple of days before you get water, or it might be, you know, a couple hours. So, I mean, you know, the things really become germane to the affluence that we live in and that we expect. You know, that's the other part of it. We just expect to have power and to have water and to have all of these things. And around the world, it's not as expected. They're grateful for whatever they can get. So,
when you travel around the world, you really appreciate how spoiled we are here, because most of the world is struggling for a clean glass of water, or, not to sound gross, some place to use the bathroom. It's a big struggle.
Exactly.
So we take so much for granted here. I definitely had a chance to appreciate. I didn't complain a lot, because I knew, first of all, my complaints wouldn't have any effect on the outcome. It was going to be, I had to be with what is. And I learned to adapt. You know, we fortunately we had our gas on, so we had some heat, and we could cook. But we used a lot of candles, flashlights, and in the evening just limited our activity to a few rooms in the house, and just, you know, was pray for the power to come back. I got to master my fireplace, so I was able to produce heat for the house, and I'll be more ready for the next one than some people will, I'm sure. It was an experience, to be sure, but we were troopers, and we got through it with the help of God, so I'm here to talk about the election.
No, just one thing before we go there. I was watching the Men That Built America, and, you know, part of that whole transition from Civil War to, you know, the 1900s, and you go through the kerosene, and then you go to the next, and that was like the first light that we were able to have in our homes that extended the hours of productivity. And then you take that next step to electricity. And then, of course, electricity, you know, in the current state where we're at, but this building of Niagara was such a huge undertaking. So it was interesting to in light of Sandy, in light of Athena, and the perils that natural disasters provide, times, and that we're still very vulnerable. But anyway, but thank you for sharing that, my brother.
Okay.
So we're gonna be having some conversation about the election. So what do you want to say about the election, since I already have your mic open?
Well, I'm definitely glad that Obama won. I wasn't looking forward to 4 years of Romney, but in the scheme of things, there's still a lot of work to be done, and we can't rest on our laurels because of his victory, because that's only the first step. You know, we're still living in an economically depressed condition. There's still a lot of social justice issues that need to be addressed, and international issues that need to be addressed. So just by virtue of Obama being reelected don't mean that all these problems are going to necessarily be addressed in a timely fashion.
Absolutely, and we have the we have that fiscal cliff looming, and, you know, I'm hopeful that the politicians have heard the message, and all of this, the Republicans are going to vote one way, Democrats are going to vote the other way. It's got to stop, and if we can go forward. And I know prior to this election, they were willing to take the whole country in a spin. And, you know, it's a little scary, to say the least. So, you know, we have the next couple of weeks to look at and to consider what that's going to be about.
Yeah. Good to talk to you, my brother. I'm glad I'm on the call. I'll be listening in.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'll put you on.
Is Henrietta in the house yet?
She is. Let me open up her mic.
Ahead, I'm here. Hello?
Oh, wait,
hello?
I just forgot his mic. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Henrietta?
You want to say something?
I just want to give a shout out to my dear sister in Chicago. How you doing, sweetheart?
Henrietta. We're having a little.
Did you hear what I said, Glenn?
I can hear. I was on mute.
Okay.
But thank you, Jonathan. I've been thinking about you all and sending you all some light and love and energy.
Yeah. Well, we finally got it Friday night.
Good.
12 days.
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm glad everybody's okay. How's your mother-in-law doing?
Oh, she's a trooper, man. I got to kiss her. Yeah. She didn't complain at all. You know, she took everything in stride.
Good. Okay. That's great. Tell Niyama I love her.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
And Chicago is sending you all everything you need. Whatever you need. And there are people who want to know if you need anything. So please, you know, please let us know.
Okay. Well, I tell you what I need. I need all my IBS people in the New York area to show up at my birthday party on December the 1st.
All right.
Wait a minute. Is that just for New York?
No, you can come from Chicago, too, from D.C.
You know, I will come to a party, right?
Hey, baby, this is gonna be one to come to, guaranteed.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Right. For those who don't know, go on Facebook and type in Old School Meets Hip Hop, and you'll get all the particulars. It's December 1st, East Orange, New Jersey, 56 Melmore Gardens at the Masonic Lodge. It'll be all that.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
Tell them what time it starts.
As soon as you walk through the door.
All right. Okay. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Do not miss it. Okay.
Here you go.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so, Obama, I want to hear from you guys. We've got a couple people on in the chat room. If you'd like to dial in, 716-9827. If you'd like to speak on the mic, press 1, and we'll acknowledge you and let you talk about what's going on. So we want to hear from you. So what's going on? What do you guys think about the election? What do you think about what's going on? About the fiscal cliff? Want to hear what you say about it. So press 1, and we'll bring you in and recognize you. Meantime, what do you think about this fiscal cliff conversation that's going on, Henrietta?
I didn't get what you said. Say it again, please.
So what do you think about this fiscal cliff conversation that's happening?
The fiscal, I don't think I know what you're speaking about.
The fiscal cliff is the conversation that basically the laws that are in place, the Bush tax cut laws, plus there are some additional laws that if they don't do something with it, negotiate and work together, every American on every income level will experience a tax increase, starting out with a minimum of about $4,000 for people under $50,000, and it goes up. So that's the fiscal cliff that everybody is talking about, and hoping that we can get some work together in terms of the Democrats and Republicans putting together an agenda that's going to protect the American people. So we'd like to hear from you all out there. Press 1 if you'd like to get a piece of this conversation. If you just want to say that you're how glad you are about Obama winning, that's fine too. Just want to hear what your thoughts are around the election results, and actually, what's looking to happen going forward? You know, what do you want to see happen going forward in your community? So I know one of the things that I got real clear about in this whole conversation was that it's not so important. Well, it is the presidential election is always important. But also what's equally important is the conversation of local government, you know, your local government officials, and how they play a part in what your community is going to look like. So it is very, very important for you to know your elected officials and what they're up to and what they're doing, and that you touch base with them from time to time, so they know what your interests are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't done my homework on that subject, Glenn, but I will. I will definitely do it. We've had a lot of conversation about what we expect. You know, like, what do we expect the next 4 years? You know, that's been in a lot of conversations here.
Let's hear about that.
Okay.
I'm interested
in that conversation. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. One of the things that we talked about, my brother-in-law and I were talking about this the night was, this is the time to start your business. You know, if you start a business, whatever business it is, you know, just something that you've always wanted to do or something that you know you can do. Something small, it doesn't have to be a great big business, but a business, you know, and it takes the pressure off of looking for a job and not getting one. You know, if somebody you know is starting a business, if you can help them start their business, and maybe you'll get an idea of what kind of business you would like to start. Tyler Perry, I mentioned this back in June. I think that was the last time he was in Chicago. He had a play going around my job. And one of the things that he talked about, you know, how he comes out and he talks at the end of the play. And he said, what will help us as a community, as a culture, is if we start opening businesses again, just small businesses. He said that, you know, nobody can take that business away from you. You can do it however you want. You can start it with what you want. You know, I'm today at a photo shoot, and it's interesting because most of the people here, like the photographer, this is his business, and it is in his house. And the makeup artist, you know, the hairstylist, those are all businesses that they have. You know, the attorney who did the release form, these are people who are in their early 20s. Just out of college and looking, you know, couldn't find jobs and things, so they started their own businesses. You know, the attorney actually does business with people he knows who are starting business, and he helps them, and he works as a bouncer in a club at night, but he's establishing a business of his own, you know, a law firm, basically, with his friends, helping them start their business, getting them, you know, getting their incorporation and papers and all of these kinds of things that, you know, normally you have to pay a lot of money for. So, you know, there's just a lot of different ways to start a business or to help someone else start a business. A lot of women are starting bakeries or catering. You know, somebody likes the way you cook. You know, somebody likes the way you clean, a lawn service. You know, that's a really good business because you cut the grass in the summertime, you shovel the snow in the wintertime. So those kinds of, you know, those kinds of businesses we were talking about, and that will, like, shift our energy around having money and get us started in, you know, just whatever's next, Glenn.
No, that's good. That's good because, you know, one of the things I got real clear about is that it's not about what President Obama is going to do for my community, but it's what am I going to do for my community.
Right.
Like what, you know, like what are we going to do for ourselves? How are we going to take care of ourselves? How are we going to take ourselves to the next level? You know,
right.
You know, I'm going to refer to this series I've been watching on History Channel, the men that built America. And when you look at what they're looking at and look at the kinds of things that they're interested in, they're game changers. They're looking for an edge to create something new that's going to take society to a whole nother level.
Right.
You know, and that's really, you know, and you think about it, that's really the history of our country is that we're innovators. You know, we took oil to the first level. You know, we were the first ones to refine oil and to make kerosene and such that we had the production, 90% of the production in the world. Then when you look at the electricity, we created electricity and generated that conversation and had electricity become the standard for the world. So we have always created, you know, on the leading edge, our music, our hairstyles, our clothing styles, our when you look at rap music, when you look at you know, even R&B, when you look at how the young people dress, you know, that's been catapulted around the planet, such that I can go to Europe or to Africa and see the same kind of clothes that are there that were started by our, you know, quote unquote, urban youth. So I mean, we are trendsetters, and I think that what's been missing is us using the economic benefit of that, of those creations. And so I think that's the place for us to ongoingly look, because that's what's going to take us to the next conversation, the next generation of entrepreneurship and economic development.
Right. And it's real interesting because all of the new careers that people graduate into, you know, look at all the designers now in Chicago. There are a lot of designers. Most people who wanted to go into design would either go to California or New York at one time. But we have a lot of designers here because Columbia College has a really good program. So students are coming out and going into design. And so I was just talking to my girlfriend's daughter, and she's one of those students. And so I just asked her, you know, if I brought you things, could you redesign them for me? You know, like redesign them, something that might be long, like we used to wear long skirts, now they're wearing short ones. Can you redesign it? So, you know, like update the look for me on some of these things that I won't wear because, you know, they're out of style. Can you redesign them? She said, certainly. So that way I'm supporting her as a designer. She gets to use her creativity, you know. So just, like, ask for whatever you need. It's right there, right in front of you. And you help somebody, and it helps you as well, you know. One of the other things for ministers is doing classes and workshops and transition services. A lot of people don't go to church, so they don't want to have the services in church because the person, their loved one, didn't go to church. So as a minister, you know, I can create a service that supports a person who didn't go to church, you know, and that's another way of generating income, you know. So there's just a lot of careers that are right in front of us. And that's what I'm looking for. You know, that's what I think is going. Actually, that's what's occurring for me right here. But that's what I'm looking forward to. The people having neighborhood businesses again. You know, where you don't have to leave your neighborhood to get what you want, and you can support somebody. You know, I remember when we were growing up, Glenn, the lady, the hairdresser was about six blocks away. But there was one on our block. My mother, in order to help her friend, now my mother worked, but her friend had five children. So my mother would make extra money ironing for her friend.
Sure.
So, you know, and that would help her out, and my mother would make some extra money. Like my father worked for Walgreens, and he not only worked for the store, because at that time there were just maybe two. I think it was actually the first one that was here in Chicago. But then as Walgreens started opening up stores around the south side of Chicago, he would go and open them up. But on the weekend, he went out to their house and worked for the Walgreens, the family. You know, he would cut their grass, wash their windows, whatever they needed. He was their handyman. And then next thing you know, the people on their block started asking, can he do mine? Can he, you know? And so he started a little business, doing that, helping people do that. You know, and that's how he made extra money. So I think, you know, we can really take a lesson from some of those things and just start looking around and seeing who it is that we can help start a business, and or can we start one of our own?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we're coming to you every Sunday night from 8 to 9 p.m. But before we go on, there's one thing that I've got to do, that I've been dying to do, and just the thought just came to me, so I'm going to play this song in, not in memory, but in as a recognition of our newly elected president. Hold on, you guys.
Okay.
Oh, my my music is not cooperating with me tonight.
Okay.
I was trying to play We Are the Champions by Queen.
Okay. Well, it was
anyway,
a good thought. It was a good
thought. So tonight we're talking about the elections, anything that you noticed, anything you want to comment on. We've been talking about economic development so far. That's been a conversation that's been prevalent, I guess, in Chicago, in terms of what are we going to do for our community. You know, I know that we've been talking about it on the radio show here quite a bit about your local economy and what's it going to take it to the next level. I would like to hear from you. Please press 1, and we'll get you on the air, and we want to hear your comments and thoughts. Go ahead, 404-964, go ahead.
Hi, Stu, how are you?
Great.
Good, thanks. I wanted to just say in regards to the election, watching all of the news shows and things of that nature, and reading the paper, what's definitely, which everyone I'm sure is aware of, is how the Republican Party really is taking a look at who they are and what their next step should be. And this one anchorman stated, you know, the Republican Party, it's not a lost, it's not a dead party, it's just lost in the fact that it's not truly being realistic and reaching out to what they call the new America. And I thought that was pretty interesting in regards to how a lot of, like, the Tea Party, how they were running their race, and in regards to just, you know, as far as the issues as abortion, with abortion, with gay marriage, it's just how they truly are not looking at how America has changed. It's like they're stuck in a time warp. And so there was Michael Steele. He was on, I think it was Meet the Press or something today, and he's a black Republican. And he was just stating, along with some other black Republicans that I'm friends with. Remember, we interviewed Ann Clanton, who was the director of the Republican Party for the state of Rhode Island. And what's happening is, like, they're talking about how there are a lot of young African-American black Republicans that truly see the value of being a Republican. However, there is this, what is it, far-left or far-right Republican that a lot of people just, a lot of new or young Republicans just can't get with. And so it's almost like, okay, what is it that the Republican Party can do to be ahead of the game and to win in the next election? Because if they're not able to truly see and realize that America has changed, but it's But it hasn't, for me, it hasn't changed in the fact that it's changed where people just want free stuff. That's one thing that I'm getting sick of hearing about, is how Democrats just want to get free stuff, you know, and how everyone's going to get a free phone if they vote and all this other mess. But anyway, getting back to the Republicans and their point of view and how they have to truly change how they view America. They have to truly relate to the people that they want to, you know, rally around them so that they can win. And I personally feel like if they send the right message next year, and they truly are talking about, you know, helping as far as with building, if you want to start your own company, things of that nature, like, I feel like they can really have a strong party next year, especially with these young people, because after talking to a lot of young people, especially African-American young people that are, like, business owners and things of that nature, they're like, you know, they would have gone Republican if they just, you know, didn't come across so almost, like, I hate to say it, almost evil. However, they know that they took a total different stance on a lot of other issues, and of course by President Obama, you know, being black and doing a good job, they're like, okay, we're just gonna, you know, vote for the president. But a lot of them making a lot of money, and they would have gone Republican. So that's one thing I just want to kind of put out there. I know I'm rambling, but the one thing I want to put out there was that the Republican Party, if they're smart when it comes to the technology of how to get voters to vote for them. I don't know if you all heard about the technology that the Democrats use. Obama's campaign was unbelievable in regards to that. But they are really smart. It could change. I feel like they could really come back around and they could win the next election. Especially if Jeb Bush runs, because a lot of people like him. So that's it. I know I said a lot.
Well, let me address the first of the 10 issues. No.
I just have some really, like, energetic, exciting conversation. I'm trying to, like, put it all in one. And it's just been really interesting talking to black Republicans. Like, you know, it's just been very interesting. I just wanted to share that. I really see their point of view, and I see where they're coming from. However, it is a party that's almost like, it's almost like they're using scare tactics, and they just went about it the wrong way. Another thing I want to bring up too is Karl Rove. I mean, I don't know if he's on the run or what, but I know these millionaires are pissed off at him for, you know, wasting, what is it? I don't know how much money. I know I can't remember how much money.
$100 billion.
You said $100 billion.
Mm-hmm. The super PAC. Spent $70 million on Romney, and there are probably some other additional monies that were out there as well, and of course they didn't deliver and didn't get the bang for the buck that they thought they were going to be able to do.
Well, but I was asking one of my friends, like, what do you think is going to happen to him? And I know a think tank might pick him up, either that or he's going to be the next Jimmy Hoffa, because that man right there needs to just stay at home and hide.
Nah. He'll survive. They all do.
I know. They all. You're absolutely right. They all do. They all do.
They all survive. They can blow the money and throw it somewhere else and cause the blame on something else and not take responsibility.
Right.
But let me come back to a couple of things you said.
Okay.
So the first thing I want to say is that when you look at the how the votes were split. So when you look at so Romney got 60% of the white vote.
Mm-hmm.
Obama got the other 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Obama was also got 60% of the, I think it's 60% of the women. Might
mm-hmm.
have been higher than that. Don't quote me. He also, the black and Hispanic vote was somewhere 79-80%, somewhere in there. And then the youth vote, he was very strong in. So when you look at all of those areas that Obama addressed, and Romney much just focused on the white vote, so of course he couldn't win, because when you look at the numbers, the number of people, white folks who are voting is not a big enough number to win the electoral votes. So you're absolutely right. There was a much keener, a smarter addressing of the issues. But I think part of it had to do with Romney as a candidate. When you think and look at what, you know, I've admitted this before and I'll say it again. I've never looked at the debates or took the debates seriously, even his first election, because I was clear who I was going to vote. And I didn't even think that the debates were that important. Although, not this last election, but the previous election, 2008, a couple people made comments where, oh, I was going to vote McCain, but after President Obama's, well, he wasn't president then, but President Obama's debate characteristics, they felt that they shifted their vote. And I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And a couple people mentioned that to me. So, of course, this time with the economy being down, I wanted, and I always felt as though that Obama hadn't really presented himself in the best light.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an opportunity to see. And the first debate, he looked a little flat, and the second and third. But again, the thing that I got about it was that Governor Romney never really answered the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that was disturbing to me. Here you have a debate, but you're just doing talking points that have nothing that are supposedly related to answering the question, but you're really not answering the question.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, if I would have considered voting other than Obama, that was thrown out the window because this man wasn't even addressing the issues. So
yeah.
My confidence level of him and so forth. Now, when you look at overall economics, the other part of it was that his plan wasn't really a plan. I mean, mm-hmm. and nobody spoke to the fact that his plan didn't make sense. And if you look at the basic economics, it could never work.
Mm-hmm.
So that, plus he seemed, he didn't answer the questions, and then he outright lied. It was like, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, how could this man, Now, I didn't think it was going to be close to begin with, but then with these debates, the media, and that's the other thing that we have to always constantly consider, the media took this conversation and made it a race. Now,
mm-hmm.
when you think about it, of course they had to make it a race, otherwise it wouldn't have been a newsworthy story.
Mm-hmm.
So, Romney's, ahead, he's tied, he's, and it's like, really? How is
right.
Romney still in it?
Let me tell you, when they were doing that, after a while I had to stop watching CNN and Fox. I was watching both CNN and Fox, and I have to give it to Fox, that woman, I don't know her name, but she's the young blonde-headed woman that was talking to Karl Rove, and you could see that the smoke was coming out of his nose. He was getting nervous when he saw that, and he knew that Romney was not winning, but he kept saying that Romney is going to win. He's going to win because I know he was thinking about all those people that gave all that money to him, right? Everyone,
yeah.
like you said, everyone that they put that money toward, I mean, I don't know if it was 100%. I don't know what the percentage is, but probably anyone won. So what she said, that woman on Fox, she said, okay, so let me ask you this. Is this the Republican mathematics so that you can feel good about yourself? Oh, my God. And then she got up from the seat and went to the back of the studio. She got out of the anchor chair, went to the back office, had the cameras follow her to the back office to try to get some answers whether or not Mitt Romney was going to win or not, because Karl Rove, he was just all over the place. looking crazy. And finally, she got the answers. And I was watching Fox News, CNN, and I was on Facebook. And all you saw was Facebook people saying, "Carl Rove, please be quiet." Like, I mean, it was amazing seeing how nervous. You could see he already knew what was happening, but right before him, but he could not accept it, you know. But I might have to give it to Fox, you know. And even they were calling the electoral votes that they were higher for Obama than the, I don't know if they got the numbers in quick or whatever, than the electoral votes that were showing on CNN. So Fox, they weren't trying to sugarcoat anything. The only person that was beating around the bush and sugarcoating stuff was Carl Rove. But I want to talk about another thing, Glenn. Is this whole thing about the director of the CIA and his affair and everything. And, you know, they, like, I know everything is strategic, and I'm wondering, it came about right after the election. So now is it looking like, now it's like it truly it's going to crumble, and that, and Hillary Clinton, she's not sure. You know, I think she was joking around saying she wants to have her own decorating show. So she's, you know, leaving. So it's kind of like, okay, what's really happening? They say that presidents that get a second term usually do not do well. And so for these, you know, events to occur, it's like, okay, what's really going to happen? But I believe that President Obama, if he continues to stay on track with his plan, everything that he started in the first 4 years, and just stay on track with that and be focused. And I really feel like he could be the first president to have a better second term than the last. And I'm going to be in the space of unpredictable results. I mean, we were already in the space of unpredictable results when the black man won. So when people are starting to say, oh, well, you know, presidents, you know, from all the way from Lincoln, or whoever, you know, was able to get a second term, there's in history, no one has ever done better. But this man has proven that he's smart as hell. And he has proven that he can pretty much, he can, in my eyes, he can do anything because he's a people person. He really cares about the people. He really wants to work with the Republican Party. And I really believe that this could be an even better term, and I'm not going to listen to those people that say it's not going to be. And yes, it may, just because it looks like something's happening, like with the CIA or FBI director.
He's the CIA director.
CIA. Wow. Okay, and then Hillary leaving and everything. I just think, you know, it may look like it, but just because it looks like it doesn't mean that it's going to be, you know, a not so good second term.
I got you. Hold on. We got callers had their hand up for us for a while. 504-309, go ahead.
If you don't know my voice, I'm a jump out there and bum you up. Ain't nobody say Happy Veterans Day. I ain't heard nothing yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Today's actually.
That's right.
I was about to jump all over y'all.
Okay. Well, thank you for reminding us, because I actually watched something on Vietnam.
Happy Veterans Day, Noon.
Okay now. You better salute me. Better stand up and salute me.
I salute you, Noon. No.
Okay now.
Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, baby.
To everyone.
How about Glenn? What you say, Glenn?
I said that they died so that we could have a vote.
That's right.
You know,
that vote is important, because a lot of guys wasting their lives trying to save this and that and the other. So, you know, Happy Veterans Day. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Today is Veterans Day. So we going to have a free meal for all the veterans in New Orleans from the Department of Veterans Affairs at IHOP and we should be doing it down here in New Orleans.
Okay. Cool.
Every veteran, active and retired, gonna have a free meal on the vets today and tomorrow.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay, that's all I got to say. Y'all didn't forget me now.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Nunu.
All right, baby.
This is an International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live. We're having a conversation about the election and what you see and what's possible. And Jill has brought up some real interesting conversations around the Republican Party and the lack of, or the interest, I should say, of blacks in the Republican Party. And I guess I can go on and say and kind of step out there, but I am a registered Republican. I did vote for Obama because he's the right man. I am registered as a Republican because my commitment is to find out what's going on with the Republican Party and have them represent my interests. And obviously, if they don't represent my interests, they don't get my vote. But I think that's one way to stay in the loop of the conversation. So I know I might get some hands go up on that one, but that was one of the things that, who was it? Tony, oh man, I can't think of his name. He was one of the folks in New York, one of the black talk shows that talked about being a Republican because the Democratic Party basically has always taken us for granted. And so that was, that was one side of the conversation. The other side is to be inside of the Republican Party so you understand and know what's going on as well. So just want to put that out. I'm putting that out in the public ways. So all of you know we've got a couple minutes left. If you'd like to comment on the upcoming fiscal cliff, the election, you want to say anything about the election, anything that you noticed, that you thought was interesting, that you thought is going to shift, and or any plans or futures that you want to see for your community that's going to impact your community that you might want to speak to. And thank you, Mr. Martinez, for always bringing us and keeping us straight on Veterans Day. Appreciate that.
Every day, every year. Okay.
Yeah. Every year.
Yeah. And if anybody out there would like to ask a question or make a statement, please push the number one button on your phone and let us know. Tony Brown's journal. That's what it was. It's Tony Brown.
Tony Brown. Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't think of who his last name. Tony Brown's journal. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, again, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and these views are not the views of the International Black Summit. These are our personal views. So anything that's been expressed or is coming out of my mouth is expressly the thoughts and ideas of Mr. Glenn Greenidge and not of the International Black Summit. So I just wanted to be clear about that. And we're just the International Black Summit is making this show a vehicle to have open discussions. So hopefully you're going to get something from this. These shows are being recorded and will be listened to later on by different folks. So if you'd like to express your opinion or share your information with us, please do so. And we've got some folks in the chat room. We do have some available lines. The number is 646-716-9827. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what you're up to and what do you think about what's going on in your community around this election and going forward. Everybody's real quiet tonight. So
well, Glenn, this is Jill, and I have friends, African American friends that are Republican. They did, some of them did vote Republican, and some of them knew that President Obama was the person for the job, and they voted for him. And I am real interested in seeing. I really believe this. They're trying to figure out who could run, the next 4 years. And I really believe that if Jeb Bush puts himself up to run, I think he could have a great chance of winning because he is, to me, he's very realistic in regards to the issues and causes, I mean, the issues within America, and he's a kind person, and he is, as far as his pattern in regards to education and things of that nature, I do feel like that he would have a good chance of winning, and the Republicans could possibly get back in and hold that seat of presidency.
Well, you know, the other person don't sleep on is Colin Powell. Because I think
Colin
that,
Powell's wife doesn't want him to run, though.
Well, I'm just saying, he would be, to me, he's always been a viable candidate for that, for a presidency, just around leadership. I mean,
that's
when
true.
I look at the
that's
guy, I think
true.
Of who he is. I mean, you know, I see leadership, and I see him certainly doing that. We've got another caller. Caller 917-440. Go ahead. You're live on the air.
Okay. Hi. This is Dolores from New York. There are two things I wanted to talk about, and one of them was the election. I thought it was a most insightfully run campaign with regard to how with how technology played a big part and how many times the unheard voice got heard, and those were the people that came through for this candidate. the other thing is the other thing is that I just appreciated the stand and the opportunity to embrace the candidate. And, you know, people ask about, very often about, is there a black platform or what is it that we want from the presidency? And what I keep looking at is that there, everything that he's been asking for, jobs, housing, and opportunity, like that's really the stuff that we need. So I don't know if for me there is a specific black platform as much as there is a platform for Americans and for a chance to actually come forth and take a stand and have life turn out. And when I look at that, I'm also looking at what's happening in New York with regards to the storm and Sandy and how New Yorkers and people from New Jersey are actually looking for that chance, looking for that opportunity to actually recover from the storm. And one of the things, you know, I was talking with Henrietta earlier today, and she said that one of the things that we would be looking for was what is it that New Yorkers really need. And most of the time, you know, I checked in with a couple of people from Far Rockaway and from the devastated areas in New York, and really what people need is they need a hand. They need the bodies. They need people who are willing to come in and spend the time, or willing to volunteer and come in and just clean the spaces that were overtaken by the flood and the sand and, you know, the ruined houses and all of the furniture and houses that were really just devastated by the storm. So more and more, it looks like really what we need is a chance. And if there's something that New Yorkers need right now around the storm, it's like, if you know anybody who might be in the Rockaways, who might know somebody who might need some assistance, call them up and see what you can do about giving them a hand to recover. And in the recovery process, the only other comment I have is, like earlier we were talking about economic development. Yes, Glenn.
We got about 30 seconds left, so.
So, okay, if you can just call in and see if anybody you know needs help, and And we need a body. We need people to come out and help, like in the recovery.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you for calling. Appreciate it.
Glenn.
Oh, sure.
Glenn, can we ask everyone to go to blacksummit.org and contact us that way? If you need anything, if you want to volunteer, contact the talk show at Black Summit. No, excuse me. Go to blacksummit.org and send a message to the talk show team, and then we'll get the we'll connect everything.
You can send a message to the talk show team, and you also can put something out on the. And the chat at the social network at www.blacksummit.org. So that's an opportunity to put some things out there. So we're out of time, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you and love you, and thank you, and wish you all the best. See you next week, God willing. Peace and blessings. Night.
Right. Thank you, everyone, for calling in.